Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. You're listening to the Wavebreak podcast, the show where I interview the people behind the fastest growing e-commerce and direct-to-consumer brands. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO at Wavebreak. Wavebreak is the email and CRM agency for high-growth D2C brands. With ad costs rising, we help brands maximize lifetime value by building and optimizing world-class email and SMS marketing programs. You can learn more about partnering with us at wavebreak.com. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast, the marketing podcast for high-growth direct-to-consumer brands. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO of Wavebreak. We're an email and CRM agency for high-growth digitally native brands. I was just talking with the founder last week. We're deep in the midst of Black Friday Cyber Monday sales. We're reporting our results back to them that we're over 70% increase in email revenue year over year. And this has been a client for over 22 months, so almost 2 years. And his question was, why do you think that is? And my answer was, it's because of the consistent optimization that we did over the previous 12 months. So we figured out when the best times to send an email was. We figured out the best creative. We really optimized and found what creative was best, improved the look of the creative, made it cleaner, higher quality. We did segmentation optimization so that we're not sending to too little segments and not sending to too big segments and not leaving money on the table by being too focused or not enough focused. And then we continue to build and send really great content and messaging and optimize around the customer journey to just create a really great program. The result of that is something I talk about all the time on the podcast. When you go to pull that sale lever, then it just, the sales pour in, and the result was a 70% increase year over year, which for a lot of brands is really impressive considering 2021 growth compared to 2020 growth. It was not the same as the year before. So we are absolutely dominating with this strategy. The Wavebreak method works extremely well. If you want to have an awesome Black Friday, Cyber Monday and Q4 next year, the best time to get started is in January. We're already starting to fill up with demand. So reach out at wavebreak.com to learn more so you can secure your spot. Today on the show, I'm joined by John McDonald, returning guest. I think maybe, you know, one of the most, this might be his third time on the show. He's got a new book. They work with a ton of direct-to-consumer brands, everybody from Nike to Swiss Gear to Bell Helmets, companies that you know and love. And he's got a new book, and we're going to be talking about that book. And there's a lot of points that I agree with in that. So even if you've read the book or you haven't heard about the book, it's really just a conversation of like two operators of agencies in the e-commerce space who've seen a lot, see a lot of brands making certain mistakes, seeing a lot of brands doing things right. And then we just riff on those things. So a lot to pick up in this episode, and it's probably going to be one of the most listened to. So stay tuned for this one. Thanks so much for coming on the show, John.
Thanks for having me, Dylan. What is this? Number three, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. We might have even taken webinars and put them on the podcast. So it might be like, you might be one of the most frequent guests on the show at this point.
I love it. I'll take that.
Congrats. Title. Yeah. So for the people who don't know you, you're founder of The Good and you've got a new book coming out. So tell us a little bit in your own words, like what's The Good? Obviously, it's a really good thing. And you've got a new book coming out, but for the people who haven't listened to the previous three episodes.
Yeah. So The Good, we're a conversion optimization firm. So we help e-commerce brands to convert more of their existing e-commerce traffic into customers. We do that through conversion rate optimization, helping them to use every click and movement that's happening on their site to understand where people are dropping off in that buying process and how to grease the wheels, if you will, and make that journey so much easier for the customer. So it's really focusing on that customer experience, not on the tip or hack of the week, right? Putting up pop-ups and things of that sort. It's really around the entire customer experience. And so we work with brands like Nike, Xerox, Adobe, The Economist, and dozens of mid-size e-com brands as well. And this new book is called Opting In to Optimization. And it comes out on October 26th, Tuesday, October 26th. And it's all about what I have and the team at The Good have learned over the 13 years we've been optimizing websites. I had come out with a book about 6-7 years ago called Stop Marketing, Start Selling. And it's still pretty popular. It sells a handful of copies every week, which is amazing to me because it's a very tactical book. And what amazes me is how many of those tactics still really deeply apply to conversion optimization, because we didn't focus on do this pop-up, do this tool, right? We focused on what are the core optimizations you need to be making in e-commerce. And those, most of those are still holding really true. And a lot of sites still aren't doing those. So what we wanted to focus on with this book is as I went back to the drawing board, I said, look, what should I focus on? I don't want to do tactics again. And everybody I spoke with agreed, really need to focus on what are the core tenets of what we've learned, the philosophies, not so much the how, but the why. And if brands can get down to that and really understand why they should be optimizing and some of the core beliefs, and we call them laws in the book, laws of optimization, then the rest will really flow. And it won't matter what tool set you're using as long as it aligns with that law, essentially.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's what I was going to ask too, because you've seen so much of this space over such a long period of time, which through the lens of The Good, like walk us through the beginning up to now, because it's really interesting how e-commerce has really shaped and evolved.
It really has. I mean, it went from when we initially started, you know, every site that was worth their salt was on Magento, and now everybody's on Shopify. And
you remember Yahoo?
Oh, right. Yahoo stores. I mean,
there were some legit brands on Yahoo.
You laugh, but up until about 18 months ago, we had a client that was still on Yahoo.
No way. I didn't even know it was still around.
Yeah, I think they got bought by another e-com platform and integrated into that system, but it's still called Yahoo Stores. It's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so when we started at The Good, you know, we really started on as an e-commerce development shop, you know, 13 years ago. And within about a year of starting up, we quickly realized what brands actually needed was this optimization angle. They could find development anywhere. It was becoming a commodity. And now with Shopify being so prevalent, it is 100% a commodity, because as a Shopify developer, you know, you're fighting against hundreds of thousands of other Shopify developers for what is essentially a low barrier to entry, which is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love that Shopify has done that. But it's not a place I want to run a business in necessarily of just 100% optimizing Shopify stores. So what we really looked at is I actually flew around the country and interviewed a whole bunch of our customers, our best customers, and they all said the reason when they hired The Good was not because we could build them an e-com shop, but that we would optimize it after we launched. And that was the epiphany for me of, you know, we really need to focus on that. So here we are, roughly 12 years later, and what we've seen is the same themes come up time and time again as we're optimizing. And doesn't matter if it's a enterprise level e-com site or a startup e-com site, or you know, the bulk of them mid-range e-coms, but they all have these same issues that it really comes down to what they believe and also the theory of why they should be doing different things on their sites. And we find ourselves educating our clients on these every single time. So, you know, I really decided one of the things I should do is write a book about what those core beliefs were. And, you know, the other thing is, Dylan, our mission at The Good is to remove all of the bad online experiences until only the good remain. I can't touch, and my team can't touch, every single e-commerce site, right? So by writing this book, my goal is to give away our thinking and help people to apply it to their sites so that we initially can help to tackle more of the bad online experiences that are out there and convert those into good ones.
What are some of those? Like, what are the, so you've got the laws, like what are, maybe what we could do for the podcast is like dive into like three of them. So like, what are like three, maybe like three sins that you see these, like these e-commerce brands are making, especially because it used to be so easy. Like talk about what it used to be. Like first it was like, you just throw up a website and you optimize your keywords. And like, that was like e-commerce 1.0. It's like, oh, I'm ranking for XYZ product. And then you grow. And then it was Facebook ads. You put a dollar in, you got $10 back. It was incredible. You put $2 in, you got $20 back. It was insane. Now it's a little bit different. And so the stakes are much higher when it comes to converting more of that traffic. Like, but you don't know what to fix if you don't know what's broken. So like, what's broken? What are those top three kind of mistakes that you see and still run into today?
Yeah, great question. I would say the first thing is, one of the laws is that you can't read the label from inside the jar. So many brands try to optimize their own experience for their customers. But the problem with that is that they cannot understand what the experience is like for a new-to-file customer. So they spent all this money on ads, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, Google, whatever it is, got somebody to their site. And that person has no understanding of the brand other than what they saw in the ad. They don't know if what the product lines are exactly. But they're there only for two reasons: to understand if you can help solve their pain or need, and then to convert as quickly and easily as possible if they decide you can. So anything that a brand does that doesn't grease those wheels just frustrates consumers and gets them to not convert. But brands all the time, as they're building out their navigation, for instance, they know their product lines. They know what the categories are. So they're not going to be the best folks to organize that content and do all that wayfinding, right? So same thing with like product detail page content. You start looking at all that content and a brand will start talking in all these technical terms or about what they think are the best features, but consumers have completely different points of views of what their needs are and how your product's going to help them solve it. So, you know, I say, you know, again, this is a law that I say all the time. And a lot of these, you've heard me say even on your show several times, Dylan, but, you know, you can't read the label from inside the jar. You're just too close. And there's really only two ways out of that jar. You can try to climb up it yourself. And, you know, just know that jar is really slippery sides. And, you know, if you don't get it right, then you could potentially just really impact your site in a negative way. And you can help someone to kind of lower a ladder in for you and pull you out. And that's what our team does. And so it's really all about helping them understand that, you know, you think you optimized your site yourself, but in the eyes of the consumer, you may have done more harm than good. And so that's what that chapter is all about. How to get outside the jar, how to do some customer research, and why you need to be doing that.
That's a great point. I think there's a huge gap for so many brands, just like actually understanding their customers, period. Like, because Facebook used to understand it for you. So like the algorithm would figure it out. They'd do all the heavy lifting. And now that they can't do that, like a lot of brands are going to be in a tough spot in these next few years.
I'm you know, and we're seeing it already, I think, right? The brands that are really getting a 1-2 punch. I mean, we've seen a lot of e-commerce brands on Twitter lately saying this is the worst year ever for them, and it's just getting worse. You know, you have Facebook having issues, Apple privacy creating more issues on even beyond ads, but on email. Then you've got Facebook going down for a day or so, and you know, at a crucial time for brands heading into Q4. You've got supply chain issues, which you know are becoming an issue. You've got inflation and everything else that's becoming a problem. So I look at this book as really, this is optimization of your own site is one thing that you can't control. You can totally improve the customer experience of your site and it won't be impacted by Facebook going down, right? Now, will your traffic? Perhaps, right? But if you even if your traffic goes down and you have less traffic, wouldn't you want to convert more of whatever traffic you have coming to your site and make that sustainable? And that's really the goal here.
Definitely. Like, and on that note too, it's so funny because I think also a lot of people will look, I call it like, it's like monkey see, monkey do. It's like D2C brand see, D2C brand do is what I call it. Yeah. And what's interesting is I think a lot of people also on product pages, because like the more I get into the industry, the more I'm like, I'm clicking on Facebook ads, I'm seeing things, I'm spending more money on direct consumer brands than I used to just because I'm curious. But it's funny because you'll land on these brands and they act like they're Lululemon or Nike and you've already heard of them and they've invested billions of dollars in like brand awareness already. And because they copy them directly. So it's like, it's the whole website says nothing. It's just like logo something, we're premium, elegant, athleisure. What are your thoughts on like copying competitors, copying larger brands? I'm curious your thoughts on that based on like, you know, even this jar thing too.
Well, and I think there's actually a whole nother law in the book that your competition is a distraction. And there's a great illustration. We have some cool illustrations throughout the book, but there's a great illustration of a couple of folks on a racing horses. And you see the horses have blinders, but also the jockeys have blinders. And they're on a horse on their laptop and they have blinders on. And it's interesting because that all stems from the fact that you know, we say that there's a reason that race horses wear blinders. If you focus on yourself and making small incremental improvements day over day, week over week, month over month, you will bypass your competitors who are just looking around them the whole time. You know, and as a horse, if you start looking to the side, that's where the horse goes, right? And it's the same thing with your website. The more you start looking at your competitors, the more not only are you going to have a sea of sameness, right? But you're never going to get ahead of somebody that you, if you're always copying them. And even if you do copy them with good intentions, you don't know if it's actually working for them. You don't know if that tactic was an A-B test that you got opted into. You have no idea.
That's so true.
And you know, you go and as you mentioned, a lot of brands copy Nike. Well, the reality, Nike spends $1 billion a year on advertising and you're spending 100,000 and you're like, hey, like we're, you know what I mean?
And they operate on a totally different model too. Like they're, they're not even look like the way they track their metrics. I know a marketer who used to be at Nike and he's like, oh, we're optimal. I forget what it was, but it's like LTV CAC to the extreme. It's like dollar per, I forget what it is, but it's like as a smaller up and coming emerging brand that's not spending over $1 billion, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all yet. So many brands do it and they just assume because a bigger brand is better that they, what they're doing is 100% correct. And you know, a lot of times brands even look at industry averages. You know, we work with three different eyewear brands. One is for an aging population, readers, if you will, right? One is a blue light blockers for computer users. And one is protective eyewear for playing sports. Three totally different use cases and audiences. But if you went and you Googled average conversion rate for eyewear e-commerce, they would all be lumped into that number.
Right.
And this is the problem. I mean, even Shopify put out, oh, your average conversion rate is X and you're below the average. And I, you know, I appreciate that. Thank you, Shopify, because that increased lead gen for us dramatically because everyone started freaking out. But on the opposite end, it also meant that if people had a 4% conversion rate and the average was 2, that they said, oh, well, we're doing really good. We don't need help there. And it's like, well, you know, how do you know that you're actually doing good? I mean, there's a lot of stores out there that are doing, you know, 20% conversion rates, and there's a lot of stores doing 0.2. You just don't know really where you're at in comparison. It's not overly helpful. So at any rate, copying competition is really a downfall for a lot of brands. And it just, you know, ends up meaning that the Shopify app of the week ends up blowing up everywhere. People realize it doesn't work. It fizzles out. And they move on to the next metric. And they're always chasing what everyone else is doing. And it's just not sustainable. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You've probably seen this too. Like, you know, I started Waybreak 2016. So it's been like over five. What is the math now? Yeah. Over 5 years, almost like 6 years, which is crazy. But like, I've been in a lot of Shopify dashboards, and it's funny, the most successful brands have the least apps installed. Yeah. Have you noticed the same pattern?
Yes. 100%. And
it's a lot of the same apps too, once figure them out. But yeah, there's not 128 apps installed.
Yeah. Well, you look at it this way, that if you're not trying to copy that app that everyone else has installed because you think it must be working for them, then you play it slow and you just say, we're going to focus on what we do and our customer experience, on improving our site experience, you will grow so much faster than everyone who's just chasing the latest shiny object. Mm-hmm. And so really, again, there's a reason racehorses wear blinders, and I really encourage e-commerce brands to do the same.
And now a quick break for a quick word from our sponsor, Okendo. Okendo is the new standard in customer reviews for high-growth Shopify brands. We use them with our clients, and they work with over 4,000 of the fastest-growing Shopify retailers like Skims, Nomad, and Buck Mason to help them leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Okendo gives brands all the tools they need to capture and showcase customer-generated content like product reviews and ratings, photos and videos, and Q&A. Plus, they have an awesome integration with Klaviyo that makes it easy to do cool stuff like send review request emails and target shoppers based on review content. And now that it's that time of year again, when Black Friday and Cyber Monday are top of mind, Okendo is offering a 90-day free trial to help e-commerce brands ramp holiday conversion without having to worry about increased subscription costs. If you sign up before October 31st, you pay nothing until 2022. It's really a no-brainer to me, and don't worry, you won't be forced into any expensive annual contracts after your trial is up. They offer super affordable monthly subscriptions starting at $29. So you can make the most out of this holiday season with a little help from Okendo. Visit okendo.io and start your free trial today. That's okendo.io. Thanks, Okendo, for sponsoring the show. Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think there's also been a lack, because it was so easy, there was a lack of fundamentals. So it was like, oh, like a little dash, we'll sprinkle a little dash of creative here. Even like with like conversion rate optimization, it's like, oh yeah, like we'll sprinkle a little bit of CRO here. But now that we're getting back into the fundamentals, like how are you thinking about that? Like, I guess like actually even like, what are the fundamentals? Or yeah, we could just riff on this for a little too. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a couple of keys, and actually I can loop some of the laws into this. The first is, once visitors arrive at your site, it's really time to stop marketing to them. Marketing is what gets people to your site. It's not what is going to help convert them once they're there, right? Your marketing says, hey, if you have this pain, we can help solve it. That is marketing at its core for e-commerce brands. Now, once somebody gets to your site, the biggest mistake I see is that brands continue to market to them instead of becoming a problem solver. And that's really the key. Now, we can make this a little more real. I have a couple examples in the book of how if you treat your website as if it was a retail store, there is a lot of things that you would not do, right? So for instance, so many brands want to do email pop-ups. Right? They're just like, hey, as soon as somebody gets to my site, I'm going to throw a pop-up up. I know it collects, you know, 50 emails a day. That's great. We're growing our list. And even worse, most of them do a discount. And they say, oh, I'll give you a percentage or dollar off if you sign up for this. Well, that's not sustainable, and it creates a really bad experience. And if you were to think about this as a retail store, If I walked into a retail store and a sales associate jumped out in front of me with a clipboard and said, hey, sign up for our email list, and I just walked in the store, not even sure of exactly if they can help solve my pain or what they even have for sale, I would be very upset. And I'm, you know, I live in Portland, Oregon, and on every street corner, there's, you know, like Greenpeace or some cause that people are going for. You know, bless them, that's great, do your thing. But when I have someplace to be and they step in front of you on the sidewalk, you get upset. You're kind of like, hey, come on, like, I'm trying to get where I'm going. Like, it doesn't mean I don't like your cause. It just means now's not a good time. And your consumers have the same exact experience on your website. So really focus on solving their needs once they get to your site, and think about, you know, just because you can't see the consumer on the other side of that screen doesn't mean they aren't human. And so many brands treat them as a number or a visitor or a session, as opposed to saying each of those numbers in Google Analytics is a human. And if we treat them like that and treat them with respect and how I'd want to be treated, you will convert higher. You will have a better overall customer experience. And that's what's missing.
And when you say like marketing on site, and you mentioned like, you know, a lot of marketing off site is, you know, getting like convincing people on like why to go to your site and buy a product, that sort of thing. Does that mean, you know, when you're thinking about like the product page, does that mean you're not salesy in the copy, or like what does that actually look like?
Yeah, I would not be overly salesy in copy, but it's not just the copy. The copy should be, if you have these pain points, here's how this product solves them. Right. And then here's some of the tactical, more like dimensions, things like that, that you may want to know, the tech specs, et cetera. But then focus on what other consumers have to say, bring in that social proof, et cetera. The challenge is so many brands, when somebody gets to their product detail page, immediately try to convince someone to buy. And they're just, everything is like, you know, one small sentence of description, a couple of photos, and then immediately the buy button. And then you scroll down a little bit and it's like, hey, here's other products that people liked. And it's like trying to get them to buy stuff, right? Well, instead, focus on educating them on how you're going to help solve a pain or need that they have that they're at your site to solve. And you will convert much higher at that point, instead of just pushing people to stay on your site and be purchasing products that you don't even know if it's a good fit for them at that point. So really the problems with most product detail pages are rooted in that content, but also happen before they even get to the product detail page. Because a consumer should be able to tell if that product is going to help solve their pain or need before they even hit that page. And that's done through your homepage to your category page, which should have some filtering on it, down to that product detail page. And so too many brands on the homepage treat it as a marketing homepage, as opposed to viewing the homepage just for what it is, to get people to the next step in the funnel. That's it. You're not looking to sell and close the deal on a homepage. But too many brands have buy now everywhere. Consumers aren't ready to buy yet, right? Unless they're a repeat customer, in which case, whatever channel you drove them there should take them directly to what you think they want. You know, don't waste their time dropping them on your homepage. So it's all about that customer experience. How would you want to be treated?
Yeah, that makes sense. And so like with that too, is that looking at chopping off a lot of things? Is it basically just like simplifying a lot, or what does that typically look like then? Because I feel like this kind of like you were talking about like the standard PDP, it's like you got the product images, you got the description, you got the buy now button, you got the suggested products then, and then you've got, you know, the Yotpo reviews at the bottom. And that's kind of like your page. Also probably some more recommendations below that at the bottom. And then an Instagram feed, because, you know, we all want to see the Instagram feed on the website. Right. But yeah, just like more, I know the book is more on theory and like why this is important, but just because I'm sure people are like sitting there and like, oh, like now they're like rethinking, contemplating life. Obviously go get the book for like more details on all this. Yeah. But what else does that look like?
Well, I think that, you know, the first thing that people should be paying attention to is their customers. And the best way to solve this problem is to actually go talk to them. Right. So
that's scary, John. We can't talk to customers.
I'll tell you what then. Go stand in line at your local Starbucks. Get a whole bunch of $5 Starbucks gift cards, $10 if you're feeling gracious, right? And take your laptop and say, if you give me 5 minutes of your time, I will give you this card. Go get your coffee while you're waiting for it to be made. Come sit with me. And I want you to look at my website and just tell me what you're thinking. And then give them simple tasks. Hey, we sell t-shirts that I think you'd like. Find the right one for you. Something high level. And then sit back and just ask them, as you're thinking something, say it out loud. Walk me through your process of what you're doing here. And you will be shocked at what you will learn. And you can do this, you know, in person, or if you're really shy and it is too scary for you, you could do remote testing where you don't even have to see the people. You could do something called remote unmoderated where you don't even have to talk to them or do anything. They just take the test through your steps that you give them. But the easiest way and cheapest way to get started, just take your laptop to your local coffee shop. Buy someone a coffee while the barista's making it. You get 5 minutes of their undivided attention where they review your website. I can promise you that this works, that you will learn so much more about A, your consumers, and B, the process they're taking through your website, which is going to be a completely different lens than the one that you have.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think that's, it's funny. It's like, I think the marketer's brain, even mine in this interview, because I try to think like, oh, what is the marketer going to want to know next? And so how do I ask the right question for that? And then the marketing brain goes to the tactics. It's like, well, if this landing page is wrong, John, how do I fix it? When the real answer is like, actually, it has nothing to do with the actual tactics of the layout, but actually the strategy and like sitting and watching somebody actually get through it. Because really like, yeah, are they really going to scroll down to the bottom, click the Instagram feed, or are they going to click the product? Well, definitely not if they can't even find it.
Yeah. And this goes into one of the other laws, which is that customer experience drives conversions, not the other way around. So many brands that I talk to on a daily basis say, we have a really high conversion rate, so our site must be great. Our conversion rate must be, or our customer experience must be great because our conversion rate is great. And I look at their site and I'm like, oh, people are buying your product at a high conversion rate for two reasons. You're the only option, or B, you have a really low price and they're willing to put up with the pain. Either way, they have to put up with the pain of your bad customer experience. And so a lot of brands that say we have a really high conversion rate, there's so much room to even grow more. But you know, it's really, really common for, especially as brands grow, to say, you know what, we have a really high conversion rate compared to the average across our industry, so let's focus on just driving a bunch of traffic and neglect our site. And then they find themselves 2 years later burning down the entire site to the foundation and rebuilding it. Every couple of years this happens. It's this deadly cycle of, okay, we're going to burn this down because it's not performing where we want, and we're going to build up this amazing site. It's going to be the best site ever. So much brand, so much marketing, all the greatest new e-com features. Consumers are going to love it. But they never involve consumers in that process. And they waste all this money. And they realize 2 years later, yeah, they got an initial pop, maybe, because they did a bunch of marketing around a new site and people wanted to check it out. But then it wasn't sustainable. And so you really need to be focusing on that incremental growth. And we have another chapter in here called The Scientific Method, which is all about how you really should just do testing and look to iterate, right? If you James Clear, who wrote Atomic Habits, has a really great philosophy and formula that he put together that basically if you grow just 1% better every day for a year, you will have I think it is 36 times greater site at the end of the year, where if you decline just 1%, you would still have a better site, but it would be minimal, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't do anything, then obviously you're not really going to have much of improvements there beyond what your consumers drag you into. So all you need is that 1% greater. And you just need to focus on that really small incremental growth and just focus on compounding that growth over time. That is where you see really great returns and why we really focus on that testing angle and the small gains every week.
Yeah. And not only that, like back to the strategy portion, like if you think about like the evolving your site over the period of 4 years and learning that much about your customers, you can then take that and deploy it into your advertising strategy. Yes. Because you realize, oh, XYZ, like people aren't buying because XYZ reason. It's like, well, if you put that up front, it's going to work even better. You're not just going to, you're going to drive even more traffic to the website that way too. I'm sure you see that a lot too.
Yes, where there are so many times where we've been working with a customer for a handful of months and doing testing in monthly cycles, so we're iterating along, and we bring to them and we say, look, we learned this about your customers this month. And they say, wow, you know what? We need to bring in our CMO or whoever it might be handling the digital ads and say, can you tell them what you've learned? And we show it to them and they say, okay, well, we need to run some ads that address this marketing message. And then it ends up propagating throughout the entire business. And that's really when it's like adding fuel to a fire, because we're able to grow that conversion rate. But now there's alignment between that traffic generation and the messaging on the site and what consumers want. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't get better than that when you're driving this traffic. And you don't have to, like you said earlier, you don't have to worry about Facebook's algorithm because your messaging is right. It will work out.
Right. And then you can go to a different channel with that messaging that's already effective. And the same goes for conversion rate over time. You know, I think a lot of marketers now, I was talking recently on the podcast, had Daniel Hodgdon, who's founder and CEO of Vegamore, awesome company. One of my biggest takeaways was he was like, yeah, if I would have known what I was doing, I would have spent like even more on ads because the ROI was so good. It's the same with conversion rate optimization. Like if you realized how much money you'd be missing by not optimizing that experience, like that's the same as being able to go back in time and put in more money into advertising. But like you're going to lose that if you wait every 4 years for your new build and, you know, whatever headless XYZ, whatever's trendy then will will be the savior.
You're right. And that's where things really kind of become a problem, is that these brands refuse to just stop for a second and assess what people are doing on their site and then say, okay, I'm going to use that to help refine my traffic generation. And then at the same time, you know, with conversion optimization, I mean, we see about an average return of about 9 to 1. So for every dollar that people invest with the good, they see about $9 in return of revenue. So, you know, ads, you're lucky if you get Facebook to give you a 4 to 1 or 5 to 1. I mean, that's like insane returns. But imagine if you can get a 9 to 1 and then also start driving more effective traffic. It just really kind of expands from there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a big piece too. And it's really exciting that you put this book together, because, you know, this whole generation of like direct to consumer brands have really been built on the back of tactics and not so much strategy, because the tactics were so effective. And like, I mean, it was pretty much like a slot machine, like if you're, but less risky. But now it's becoming a slot machine. It's like you put a dollar in, maybe you get 10 back, maybe you get nothing back for a while.
Yeah. You have no control over that, unfortunately, mm-hmm. right? You're letting Facebook set those odds, which I personally am not a fan of.
Yeah. No, it's been really fun chopping up with you, John. Like for people who are listening, they, you know, like this is really just the beginning. Like if the gears are turning, this is exactly mm-hmm. why John put together his new book. So tell us a bit about the book.
Yeah. So opting into optimization, and you can just go to thegood.com/books and get a copy. And so that's thegood.com/BOOKS. You can do book as well. It will be direct, but regardless. yeah. So again, it comes out towards the end of October. And it will be for sale everywhere, Amazon, et cetera, for both in paperback, hardcover, and audiobook. I did an audiobook version.
Nice. Did you record it yourself?
I did.
How long did that take?
Ooh, that was a long... Well, actually, it took me a full weekend. I just was like, I need 2 full days of no distractions. I'm going to sit down and just record. And it was a great learning experience. And also I had a lot of fun with it. There's, you know, one of the chapters later in the book is we quote Hamilton, the Broadway play. So I got to wrap a couple lines from Hamilton in there.
Oh, wow.
So that's worth buying the audiobook alone, let me tell you, just to be able to hear that. But it's pretty
amazing
funny stuff. We did a lot of research, and our publisher and our team were both unanimous that an author should read their own book when it comes to B2B books like this. So
I think so. What was your throat sore afterwards? Or like, what was the recovery process like?
No, my throat wasn't that sore. It was more that I was just exhausted, because you don't realize, you know, I have a 5-year-old and I read him books every day, and you know, that's fun for 10, 15 minutes and you have fun with it. But when you're really intently reading so that you get every single word correct, it is exhausting. That's the exhausting part. It's not your voice. It's that if you mess up, you have to stop and go back and re-record that. And it just gets really, really exhausting. So then you start reading every single word and you want to still sound natural. And
it's hurting my brain, like just thinking about balancing all that. Did you ever get to a word and you're like, dang, I should have written this in like second grade English instead of like eighth grade?
Yes. There were tons of time I was like, if I had read this out loud before I published the book in terms of like sent it to the printer, I probably would have made some other choices here. But, not including a verse of Hamilton that I had to rap.
Yeah.
Great. It was a lot of fun, and highly recommend it to anyone who does write a book. So.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Well, we'll definitely have to listen now, because we have to hear you rap and try to figure out which words took you 3 times to record. But no, it's been great having you on the show, John. We'll coordinate the show with the launch and get everything linked up down in the show notes below. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing this it's like your proven trusted strategy, but really dialed in for the modern e-commerce world. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Don. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to everyone grabbing a copy.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll be back at this rate. All right, cool. Thanks so much for coming on the show, John.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Waybreak Podcast. If you're not subscribed on iTunes or Spotify, go hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. And if you're not on our email list, go sign up at waybreak.co/join. You'll join other e-commerce leaders at brands like Skims, Cartier, and Walmart, and thousands more, learning exactly what's working in e-commerce right now. You won't want to miss it. Sign up at waybreak.co/join. It's free. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Waybreak Podcast. I hope you have a wonderful day.